He's right in front of me, and I can honestly tell him that I'm going to knock him spark out. Leaping right hand by the Prince. Ooh. And a hard left. And Kelly's down for the third time.
Whoa! He's for real. The
unbelievable.
For real.
One more touch. And Cardiff has gone. Berrettone is the champion of the world. Berrettone is the champion of the world. Fantastic, Bernard. Fantastic.
And here comes
Andy Lee, obviously no stranger to OTBM, and he joins us live on Skype now. Andy, how are you?
Yeah, Ronan, how you doing?
Andy, how's it going?
I'm surprised that you want to talk about a heavyweight boxing clash. Surely the only heavyweight clash that you want to talk about this weekend is Arya Stark versus Daenerys Targaryen.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm imagining as the kind of spokesperson for Game of Thrones. I don't know how this has actually happened over the last few weeks, but I guess I have to just live with it now and... Yeah, looking forward to the season finale.
Don't hide your true self, Andy. You are who you are. You know, you love this thing. It's a great thing.
I know, but it's always been a hidden kind of thing. You know, now it's out in the open and I've just come to town with it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we're party anyway. Let's talk about... actually, you know what? Let's not talk about the heavyweight clash first. Let's talk about Ryan Burnett, because this is a brilliant story. We love Ryan Burnett at Off The Ball. He's been great. The interviews that you've done with him on OTBM and on Off The Ball have been absolutely spectacular. He's got a winning personality that just wants everybody to support him. So when he suffered the injury that he suffered the last time out, we were really worried about whether or not he was going to be able to make it back. But he's back tonight.
Yeah, he's back. Apparently he's in fantastic shape. Adam was saying, his coach Adam Booth, saying that he's made the weight quite handy, quite easy. Adam reckons he could make super fly the way he's making. He said he's changed his diet. He's not eating meat now, he's eating fish. Predominantly, and he's flying in the gym. I heard yesterday that there were some issues with his opponent. I'm not sure if there's been a last minute change or if his opponent made it out, but as of yesterday morning, his opponent was in Hong Kong, had trouble getting a visa, and then missed the flight. They wouldn't allow him on the flight. His team arrived in Belfast, got the flight, and then they were waiting for him to get on a flight, and he missed a second flight, and then got on the third flight and was in Hong Kong. So there was a little about it, but maybe there were some rumors that the board wouldn't allow the fight to go ahead because of the opponent's late arrival, but it looks like now it's going to go ahead. And yeah, it's great to see him back and back where he belongs, and it should be a routine win. Even if the opponent arrived 2 weeks ago, you'd expect Ryan to win the fight, and it's just getting back into winning ways and back in the rankings, and then hopefully onto bigger and better fights.
Yeah, Ronan, put some context on just how good Ryan Burnett's start to his career was up to the point where he gets that injury against Nonita Donaire.
Yeah, well, the story outside the ring, the mishaps and trouble he had early on with the failed brain scan, he had probably a spell out of the ring that he hadn't anticipated, but once he got back on track, he kind of flew through the ranks, unified world champion, which is puts him in a really high bracket in terms of Irish boxing history even. And he was well on course. Like, it's somewhat poignant that he's back this weekend because the World Boxing Super Series is tomorrow, semi-finals, and he was very much on course to have another unification with another one of the big boys in Naoya Inoue. So, you know, it's a bit of a shame. And he's back at super bantamweight tonight. And Andy mentioned, like, Adaboot's not the kind of coach that lets you change weight like willy-nilly. So I don't know if it's just not making him make the full cut this time just because he's coming back off an injury, or whether he has ambitions at super bantam. I'd say bantamweight is as competitive, but maybe not quite as lucrative. So it'll be interesting to see, even career-wise, he's achieved a lot at bantamweight already. So maybe super bantam is where he's going to go in the future. But it's interesting that Andy said he has plenty of options to go through the weights, you know.
Yeah. So he had a back injury. It was just was it a slipped disc or something similar?
Yeah. And Nonita Donaire, while like first ballot Hall of Famer, like, and a really nice guy, a brilliant pioneer for boxing. That was a really winnable fight for Ryan, and it felt like it was just going to be a good name on his record and he'd move on from there, but it was just so unfortunate. It was a good fight while it lasted, and then just a freak occurrence, and thankfully I thought he'd be out for a bit longer, so it's great that he's been able to turn it around and get back.
Yeah, Andy, it's terrible, but it's kind of got that a little bit like the Michael Conlon effect, where something bad happens in your career and you get noticed because something bad happens and you get publicity and people kind of rally behind your story. I feel and I hope that that's going to happen with Ryan Burnett with this, that the second major setback in his boxing career is something that did attract a lot of attention. His comeback tonight probably is a little bit understated, but that he is hopefully one of those characters who's going to be at the vanguard of Irish boxing for the next 5 years.
He's an easy guy to get behind because of the adversity he's faced. As Ronan mentioned, a failed brain scan, living and sleeping out of a car when his dad, Ronnie, became homeless, and training all the way through that and never giving up on his dream. And now this, he had a freak injury against the nerve. What actually happened was that the muscle had detached from the bone on his hip while in the midst of throwing a right hand, a routine right hand in a combination. And immediately you could tell there was something wrong with him, and within the next round he was pulled out of the fight. But again, like, we had him on the show when he was in his downtime. He was talking about how he was spending his time and passing his time, and showed that desire that he wanted to get back. Always spoke about wanting to get back in the ring and prove himself. And now here he is. So it's a really good story, and people should get behind him. I know he hasn't got the profile he deserves, really, in the Republic at least. But he's one of a very few unified champions to come from Ireland, and we should be supporting him. And like, how hard and what he's achieved, how hard it is to achieve that.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the heavyweight clash that we've been talking about. And one of the reasons that we are talking about it tonight is predominantly because of the comments from Deontay Wilder. If you haven't heard them yet, they are shocking the first time you hear them. Have a listen.
I'm going to get him out of there. It's going to be in a dramatic fashion, in a fashion no one has ever seen. His life is on the line for this fight, and I do mean his life. I'm still trying to get me a body on my record.
What would you say about that?
Hey, Dominique Brazil asked for this. I didn't go seek him, he seeked me. So if it comes, it comes. This is a brutal sport. This is not a gentleman's sport. I keep saying this is not a gentleman's sport. We don't ask to hit each other in the face, but we does anyway. And you can ask any doctor around the world, he'll tell you the head is not meant to be hit. Anybody can go. And on this particular time, we have bad blood against each other. This is the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it at the same time. It's legal. So why not use my right to do so?
Are you paying for it?
That's the least I could do. I can pay for the film.
That's a wrap. The press guy stepping in before he could do any more damage. But the damage is done. Andy, when you heard this the first time, what was your reaction?
Mixed. Shocking. Disgusted. And if you take it on its merits, literally. But some of it's bravado. The fight was kind of blown under the radar for me. The only reason we're here sitting down talking about it is because of those comments. Mm. Like, the fight, no one was paying attention to the fight. After he'd come from such a high fight in Fury, this was seen to be just floating under the radar. No one was speaking about it. And then he comes out with these kind of comments that I wonder if he would stand by them in a week's time. If he would, you know, I think he's definitely in fight mode. And I would never have those thoughts myself. I can't say I can relate to him, but I take it with a pinch of salt that he's trying to promote the fight and himself, and he's also trying to beat his opponent mentally. But this is a serious issue in boxing. Like, this, people do die in the ring and as an effect of boxing. Like, in the last 3 years, there's been 5 deaths, not in the ring, but after boxing and matches. And it's the last thing anybody hopes for or once when they step in that ring, that for you or for your opponent.
Isn't there supposed to be like an unwritten code that this is the one thing you don't talk about? That the point that he makes is technically, factually correct. It's the one profession where you can kill somebody in the ring and get away with it. But the code is that that could happen to you. And so therefore, you're not supposed to bring this up. You're not supposed to go this far to sell a fight. It's MMA.
And in the spirit of the sport, you never wish for that to happen, you know. It kind of goes against the code of boxing that it's an honorable sport. It's a sweet science. But like, it's like the white elephant in the room that nobody ever wants. Nobody wants to speak about. You know, it's not that it's in the back of your mind, but it's always there that you might, that it could happen to you or to your opponent or anybody who gets in that ring. But you never acknowledge it openly like that. And for him to do it in such a public, like, and just the conviction in his voice and how he said it. It was like, it's hard to forgive him for that. And like, he's got to hope that, like, if something happens, like, we've seen the effects, fighters who have gone on to to win bouts where their opponent dies as a result of the fight. They're never the same after it. You've had Ray Mancini on the show. Yeah, you spoke with him. And he talks about how that shook him. Emil Griffith was never the same fighter. You know, after he killed a man in the ring. And there's a great book written by Donald McRae, In a Man's World, about that. And it's just, you know, it's the worst outcome of something that can happen in a fight.
Yeah, like Ray Mancini, Andy mentioned it there. Like, that happened when he was 21, and it's basically adversely defined the rest of his life. His whole life is relative to that incident, and from a sporting point of view, he was never the same, but as a man, he was never the same.
The common thing between Emil Griffith and... Actually, now that I talk about it, so Emil Griffith is in a fairly unique situation. He had been taunted by his opponent and got very angry, and I don't know if he did have as much murderous rage in his mind as ultimately ends up. But certainly in Ray Boom Boom Mancini's case, it's like he had no intention to kill in that fight.
Yeah, and the nature of that fight, if anyone's seen it, it was just such a grueling affair. It was just a mixture of things, dehydration and a whole mix. But yeah, and even like George Groves, who's recently retired, had a pretty tragic incident with Eddie Gutnick, where he's kind of been had to retire from boxing, and far more severe consequences than that even. And having retired early, he's kind of like hinted at the fact that that really played into it, that he was never really the same fighter after like having inflicted those that punishment on his opponent. But Andy mentioned the promotional element of it, and it's difficult to reconcile that, but there might be something to it, because the villain has always sold in boxing, and even in Hollywood, you know, like Mike Tyson said before he fought Razor Ruddock, if he doesn't die, it doesn't count. The baddest man on the planet, and you know, he made $500 million off the back of that. Floyd Mayweather, similarly, you know, was the most lucrative sports person of all time. And like Anthony Joshua's got this clean cut persona, hasn't put a foot wrong in or out of the ring. Tyson Fury, whether he merits it or not, is seen as the people's champion. So there is a void to be filled there as the villain of the piece, and maybe that's what Wilder's going for. But there's ways and means of doing it. Like, and when you're in boxing every week and covering it, you're so entrenched that you talk about the sweet science and the little technical elements of it, but you forget this is the most physical of enterprises out there, and this is a very real possibility every time there's a fight.
Yeah, and we also don't have any faith anymore, really. Certainly I don't have any faith anymore in the testing that's going on, because so many fighters recently have been popped. That's a suggestion that things have improved in terms of the testing, but it also suggests that, you know, the number of people, as we know from all other sports throughout history, the number of people who end up getting positive tests on the record is a tiny fraction of the amount of people who are actually doping. And so if anybody's talking about killing somebody in the ring, if anybody who was involved in an incident like that was subsequently found to have been doping, then we're in a completely different territory, because at that point it becomes not just something you can do legally. You've broken the rules and it's ended up in something horrific.
Mm. And the punishment has to fit the crime, and it's a tangential point, but like Billy Joe Saunders, who failed a test recently, has been rewarded, quote unquote, by the WBO with another world title shot tomorrow for their vacant super middleweight title. So, I don't know. It's until the punishments start fitting the crime, people aren't going to be dissuaded from taking these substances, you know?
No, exactly. Andy, the fight itself, does Dominic Brazil have any hope of an upset?
He had some chance in the fact that in a heavyweight boxing, any punch can stop the fight. He's in improved fights in the one that lost Anthony Joshua. He's had 3 wins since then. But the thing about Deontay's remarks is that the man possesses such power, and he's shown that he's knocked out opponents before so devastatingly, that this actually could be a reality. You know, that it could actually, like, he has the power and the ability to actually kill somebody in the ring. A lot of times when someone has a, like, it's terrible that we're even speaking about it, that someone dies from a result of boxing, it's because of sustained punishment, or there's been a couple of fights recently where boxers have actually won the fight and took a toll taken on them in the fight, and then gone back to the dressing room and maybe collapsed after in the dressing room, roll back in the hotel. But with Deontay Wilder, with that right hand, the power he possesses, that it only takes one punch with him, and I don't see Brazil being able to, like, kind of the game plan or the blueprint is there from Tyson Fury to box, to move, to use footwork, but I can't see Brazil being that agile or mobile enough to upset Deontay in this fight.
There are some interesting wrinkles to it. If this wasn't the case, granted, it probably wouldn't have got the mainstream publicity, but like Brazil, quite a late bloomer, was a quarterback, grown up and turned into a heavyweight prospect, fought Joshua quite early on, and while Joshua was kind of quite raw at the time, and I think he had glandular fever, you know, Brazil took him into the seventh round, I think. So like, he has improved, as Andy said, an All-American heavyweight title fight, these things, there are commercial ways of building it, and yet they've gone down this route for whatever reason. But even if Brazil is on top for a couple of rounds, Wilder only needs that one shot to end proceedings, and that's what's probably going to happen tomorrow night.
Yeah, Andy, it's a real pity that we've ended up having this conversation about the heavyweight boxing division, when for the first time in two decades the boxing that we're seeing from the best three or four heavyweights in the world is actually really good, that the fights and the matchups could be really good, and here we are talking about trash talking.
I know, and they all talk to each other, they're all talk about each other, and they're all kind of compared to each other, but the reality of it that we won't be seeing these guys fight each other for at least another year because of the promotional situation where they've all signed with different promotions, different TV networks, and it's very rare that these promoters will work together to promote fights. So up to the Fury Wilder fight, it looked like these fights might happen, that it was a rematch in play, and Deontay Wilder and Joshua have been kind of dancing around each other, but now it just looks like it's going to be another year before we see at least any of these guys fight each other again.
It is a golden age of boxing, and while they're not fighting each other, the next best thing is at least they're active. All three will fight in the next 4 weeks, so we're going to get to see them. But like, going back to the Muhammad Ali days, there was these totemic three fighters at the top, but then the people pushing the issue were almost equally as good.
Yeah.
Whereas now maybe there's not that strength and depth. But Dillian White, who is the next best guy, has been number one contender with the WBC for coming on 600 days, and he's not in the position. Dominic Brazil is number four, has just randomly found himself as a mandatory challenger. So, you know, if at least give the best challenger the chance to, you know, insert himself into this conversation.
And is that just to do with money and politics and face not fitting, or they're worried he might win?
Politics, and it's very much the case they think he might win. They probably didn't trust Wilder a couple of years ago to take that fight. I'd say more so now. White's kind of, he's more of a lucrative option than he had been, so it probably makes more sense. He just has to keep winning, and in the heavyweight division, anything can happen. So Dillian White is the next best guy. Hopefully he can get a shot before the end of the year if the other fights don't happen.
Okay. Andy, before we let you go, you're actually you're in the UK at the minute, getting involved with a young fighter. Can you tell us anything about that?
No, I'm just here with a young guy from Limerick called Patrick Donovan, Paddy Donovan. Adam Booth asked me, did I know any good southpaws, because he's looking for sparring for Josh Kelly. So I nominated Paddy when he came over, and he'll be sparring Josh Kelly over the weekend. So good experience for him. And I'm just having a look at him and helping him out and see where he goes.
Are you like the little finger in this whole thing, trying to make the next king? Is that what this is?
Yeah, and the master of whispers and the master of kind.
Yeah, perfect. Andy, on that note, enjoy the entire weekend of the various different types of entertainment that are coming your way in the next while. And thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, lads. Cheers.
Cheers, Andy.
For more boxing, you can check out Off the Brawl, which will be next live next Tuesday or Wednesday.
It'll be out Wednesday night, yeah.
Next Wednesday night. And there will be an Off the Wall, which is Andy's podcast on Game of Thrones, coming your direction on Monday, as soon as the next episode drops. So stay tuned to all of our social channels. Get on to offtheball.com and you can get all that stuff for you there as well. We're going to take a quick break. We're back with the Crappy Quiz after these.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.